almost feel like we need like a tissue snot break. This whole episode has been like me tearing up, me getting chills, you crying, me crying. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Melissa Brushka.
And I'm Maury Fontanez.
And today we have the most special guest we've ever had, author of Higher Self, Ms. Maury Fontanez. Bean, are you ready to get after it?
Let's do it.
Bean, I'm so excited for today. I couldn't even do the intro, which is normally your job. I took over because today it's my show and I'm so excited
to talk about this. On your show.
Thanks for coming. What would you like us to call you? What's your title, ma'am? Author.
Bean's best friend.
Bean's best friend.
Author coach, of Higher Self.
Inspiration of my life. So many great things, but let's not go too off track. Let's start with a cringe or a delight. Okay, I'll go first. I don't even think I shared this with you. We talked about this probably last year. Corey's cousin from Israel, who we absolutely adore, who is a dear member of this family, came and surprised my children this week and is staying with us for 2 weeks.
Mikey!
And he brings, when I tell you 10 out of 10 level of joy to this home, like, 10 out of 10 is putting it lightly. He is like a bean, but like in another form. It's just really beautiful. It's just like everything with him feels magical and fantastical. And he's imparts so much wisdom and he's just always like learning and taking it in. And it's just such a beautiful time to have him around.
Oh, I'm so happy he's there. You're always so much happier when he's around.
I know. I do. I feel really joyful with him around.
Cute.
Thanks.
Well, I'm just going to have to go full sentimental here and say that my delight is this week that's about to unfold. My entire family has flown in to be here for this book launch, which the book came out yesterday as of the airing of this. And on Saturday, we're having our launch event at a bookstore here in Summerlin called Godmother's. And everyone's here. My mama, my stepdad, my sister, my brother, my uncle, my aunt, my cousin, her boyfriend, my other cousin. I mean, people came from all over the place to be here. And I feel so kind of like I'm in a dream where like they're all going to be sitting there. All these people, minus you, Bean, because you are in this category, like all these people who carried me to this point. Watching me talk about this book that like is a hardcover thing that I can hold and touch. Not to get too cheesy, but like this is such tangible evidence for me and everyone that when you dream it, it's really possible. Like it really, really is possible. If you want it, it means there's a pathway to getting it.
I am already tearing up. You just saying, having everybody around you who supports you and how beautiful it is, which leads me to my intro to all of this, which is, okay. I don't even think I can say it without sobbing. Just, we've mentioned a million times, we've been friends forever. It feels like we've been friends for lifetimes. We probably have been friends for lifetimes, that I have watched you evolve and grow and shift from the 23-year-old Maury I met until now. And that I am always inspired and always humbled being around you. But to see what you've put into this book and the energy and the pride and the fear and the all the things, and to be able to be so involved in the process working alongside of you has been like I've been such a part of this aspect and I've been able to watch it from the front row has been like a absolute gift to me. To see you in this moment and be here for this moment and to read even reading your book. I know all of the stories. I've heard them all a million times, the personal stories, but to see it all in like one continuous flow and to see that, like, imagine all of the listeners, imagine reading a book about your own best friend. Like, how intense is that? And I feel so much pride watching everybody dote on you and put in all of the work to make this the huge success it's going to be. And I am so fucking proud of you. Like, beyond words.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't think I would have done as much as I've done if you weren't by my side supporting me. Like, you take on so much. Like, there's all these, you know, guys, writing a book is madness, but then trying to sell the book is like extra special madness. And there's all these little things you don't know you have to do, you know, and all these people you have to motivate and activate, and all these puzzle pieces you have to connect, and like, oh, did you get the Amazon reviews, and did you do the Goodreads profile? Like, I won't even bore you, but Melissa has been literally project managing this whole thing. So I think that I just need you to know that this is our book.
Oh my God. Goodbye. I'll be sobbing in the bathroom now. I just want you to know, as much as I've supported and loved you, I think you would have done it no matter what. That's how much I believe in you. So everyone go buy the book. Anyway, we had all these formalities. We had like all these questions, and I was like, I looked at them right before we got on, and I was like, fuck this. I'm not asking these like formal questions. Like, so it's great to have you here. And what did you write this book about? You have wanted, honestly, I think since I've known you, I think you've wanted to write a book.
Yeah.
I remember, oh my God, I remember when you called me and told me you got a book deal. I just remembered it. Oh my God, where was I?
Yeah. It was April 2022, I think. Yeah. It was a while ago. I mean, why have I wanted to write a book? If you follow our dear Ainsley's way of looking at the world, this has been a soul desire I think I've had in every lifetime, to leave a legacy that is about waking people up to their divinity and to their empowerment. My whole life, like, I'm in an unseen dialogue with unseen voices that are full of wisdom. I've channeled that wisdom into a lot of the things I've done, whether it was my crisis management career or obviously in my one-on-one coaching. So I've wanted to write a book because I was like, how fun would it be to just channel all of that through into a book and hand it off? When I started doing the coaching work, it honestly surprised me how quickly it took off and that I had this like wait list of people. I had to start saying no. And that bummed me out because it was like, well, if your whole purpose is to help turn the light on for people, how are you going to do it? And so this podcast is one manifestation of that answer, but the book is another. It's like I'm taking what happens in one-on-one work and packaging it up and handing it to as many human beings as I can to try and offer them that same reminder of their higher self.
Yeah. I mean, every single person and individual is different and they have their own story and their own things that they bring to it, but it's almost like a methodology that works every single time. And it's laid out in your book, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is a method that I have seen transform people over and over again, but it's because it's the method I used to transform my life. It's what literally happened to me. And that's the story that's in this book. How I came to like see this method and the darkness in my own life. When you're in that dark night of the soul, when you cannot see even the next step in front of you, those are the moments that are the most spiritually potent. That's when you hear your guides and you feel your own intuitive wisdom, I think, the strongest. So I met my higher self, re-met my higher self. I would argue she and I had a lot of fun in Keystone when I was 5 years old, like out in nature, just like talking to myself. But re-met my higher self in that moment of darkness, like true darkness. She got me up and out of there. Then I thought, well, fuck, if this is possible for me, then everyone's got one of these. If I can show them how I listened and if they listen, then I'm positive that whatever they dream of, not only does the suffering have to end, but the dreams become possible.
I think you're right in that when you are in a dark space, you are particularly vulnerable. And in that vulnerability, you are almost more open because you're so desperate for answers.
Totally.
That suddenly you can hear maybe your intuition louder.
Yeah. I mean, I say this in the book. I wrote this book for you, the reader. So I write it like I am reiterating your own life story to you. I talk to you about your childhood. I get you to remember those moments in time when you were younger, where you just had this sense of magic and imagination. And so for me, I grew up in the Rocky Mountains, which is such an insane gift because it is a very magical place. you know, anytime you're in nature, yes, but that form of extreme nature, we lived at 8,000 feet elevation. There was just gorgeousness around me all the time, streams and creeks and bear cubs and, you know, right. like things that I was just outside looking at. And I was so connected to this voice inside of me that just always to me seemed like this guide. Like it always just knew things. It would tell me what was going to happen. It would tell me like, oh, if you turn in this corner, like there's going to be something fun over there. And sure enough, like a friend, I'd run into a friend. It was like this like psychic energy, but I wouldn't call it that because it was a relationship. I was in a dialogue with this voice. And we all have that dialogue in different ways. It doesn't have to show up like psychically, but we all, you know, think about where imaginary friends come up. There's like when we're really young and we haven't been conditioned that it's crazy to imagine or that magic isn't real, we're more likely to be connected to our higher self, which is this voice that is not embodied, but is so full of clarity and dignity and is truly the most divine aspect of us. And then we grow up. And we go into that adolescence where there's a lot of things that we need. First of all, we need to stay safe in our home lives. And we watch our caregivers and how they react to us. If they don't fully, you know, have the presence and the healed mind to take us in as we are, then they're going to react to us in ways that causes us to like chop ourselves up, to contract ourselves, to go smaller. And we decide, and I say this in the book, you know, in that moment where we need their love, and then as we make friends, we need their acceptance and we need their validation, we sort of choose these people's perceptions of us more than our higher self and that dialogue. And so we say goodbye and we walk away from this entity. We go into life and into a world that continues to tell us and underscore this message that wisdom is external. That validation is how you know that you matter, that other people know better than you do. We believe it. We believe it in our education system. We believe it in, you know, our workforce and the corporate landscape. We believe it in media, like all these places that just keep sending us messages. You're not enough until you accumulate all this external stuff. And so we remain super disconnected. And I believe the moment of connection, having done crisis management, my coworker and I who did it with me used to always say crisis is an opportunity. And so if you really take that and distill it down to what I'm talking about, it's that moment of darkness, like you said, where every pathway you thought was going to open up has shut down. You're at your wit's end. It's a dead end. And you have the desperation suddenly to be like, help me. And there's your higher self being like, I'm right here. Here I am. I've been here the whole time.
I feel like I'm grieving the loss of your higher self, because your higher self in particular, for me at least, has always been so insanely insightful and powerful. I'm grieving that whole period of time where you were disconnected. But then when I think about it, that's what you're saying, like everybody,
we all
for
do
the
it.
Most part, becomes disconnected. I'm so sad for yours. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I want to say it's not all black or white. It's not like you are so disconnected that your higher self right. doesn't break through here and there. I mean, there's moments in that journey where for sure my intuition guided me a lot. And I think I unknowingly listened. Maybe that's the what I'm describing as the disconnect is like, I was no longer connecting it to this divine wisdom. I just was like, oh, I have a hunch I'm going to do this thing.
Right.
So it's there. It's there no matter whether you listen or believe in it or not. But I think when I say reconnection, it's like that reminder of who you are really. That yeah. you are a divine being having a human experience. And so if that's true, then you must be connected to some wild, immense consciousness and wisdom that you can tap at any time.
So you are saying you kind of did remain somewhat tapped in this whole time, unknowingly. Is this book for people who continued their connection in that way? Or is this book for people more like me who have mostly completely disconnected from that with not a lot of nudges?
Yeah, I wrote this book for people who maybe don't realize that their higher self exists. I wrote this book for people who have followed the nudges but didn't put language to it because intuition was an embarrassing word or it was too woo-woo. And I mostly wrote this book for the people who feel underrepresented in our society. I wrote this book for the underdog because that's who I am, you know, child of Iranian immigrants, very brown skinned, growing up in a very white community in Colorado, constantly getting messages about not being enough. I wrote this book to remind people, like, when you are in your higher self, you are more than enough, and therefore you're capable of anything.
That seems more relevant than ever right now in time. I don't even know if that's a question or a statement, or, I mean, could you have timed the release of a book about supporting the underdog any better? Like, did your intuition tell you that we would be in a complete state of chaos in the world, and anybody who appears other or seems other is suddenly being vilified tremendously? Like, did your intuition was like, March 2025, it's going to be a shit show.
I wish that were true, but this is such a testament to how guided we all are and how much we have to trust in divine timing. I wrote a book about your higher self, which is about letting go of control, letting go of the outcome, having faith in the guidance. In publishing that book, I cannot tell you the number of temper tantrums and hysterical fits I had because of the delays that kept coming up with this manuscript. Oh, this didn't happen in time, so now we're pushing it. Oh, now this didn't happen in time. This book was supposed to come out last year.
That's wild.
And I was devastated every time it got pushed. And I was sitting outside during one of these particularly frustrating, you know, after interactions with those that were helping me publish this book. And I was just crying. And I was like, just close your eyes. I closed my eyes, and the first thing I heard is, do you believe me when I tell you there's a time for this book? And I said, yes.
You heard that question?
I heard that question in my head. Do you believe me when I tell you there's a time for this book? And I said, yes. And then it just was like, okay, then. Like, it was like a boulder just came off my chest. It was like, okay, then. If you believe the things you're preaching, then believe them. And I have to tell you, this book coming out right now, I'm like, oh, I get it. They weren't delaying the book. It's not like anyone was working against me. This is part of my higher self saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. Let's do this when you can have the most impact.
And what a gift it's going to be to so many underdogs, and honestly, not underdogs. I mean, who doesn't deserve
all the dogs
to hear all the dogs who let the dogs out? You know what I mean?
I knew you were going to say it.
I want a couple silly questions. I don't want it to be super formal like this. Like, I want to know in succinct ways, best part, can you label? I don't even know if you have that ability. Can you label the best part of this book in the writing process and the worst part?
I think the best parts were when I seriously would sit down blank page and truly this book came through me. It was magic to watch. I'd write a chapter and then I'd save it. And then I'd come back and I'd read it and I wouldn't have a memory of having written any of it.
It's like me. It's like my whole life.
Except that I'm not Dory like you, right? Like, I couldn't explain it. It was like, why don't I even remember? And I remember my mentor, Rhea, who this book is dedicated to, by the way, because she really helped me see my higher self, truly. But I remember my mentor, Rhea, saying, when you're channeling, there's a part of your ego that like shuts off and you will blank out. Like, you will not remember that moment because you're just, it's literally just coming through you. And I got to have that experience. So that was beautiful. What's really beautiful is how actionable it came out. How clearly you're able to identify your fear, your littles, those little selves in you that are holding on to limiting belief systems, and how this is really about listening to your littles. So that part where you get to reclaim that relationship, it's almost like you're going to like, when you read this book, it's like you're putting your arm out and you're hugging all those younger selves and you're like, come here. You got so much good wisdom for me. I'm going to take it in. And then on the flip side, how clearly actionable it is to recognize your higher self, what it feels like in your body, in your energy, in your emotions. Like, it's so tactical in that way. And then it's also a memoir. So I got to write about my mom. I got to write about my grandmother in a profound way that I hadn't really even processed what a big guiding light she had been in my life. So yeah, there's a lot of beauty. And then the hard parts are the imposter syndrome parts, are the days when I was sure, as you know, because I'd call you, like, no one gives a shit, Bean. Like, or I'm not an author. I'm not an author. This is my first book. And so I didn't have any evidence that this was going to work. So the imposter syndrome, I think, was the most painful part. And so that causes writer's block. It causes procrastination. I never missed a deadline, which I'm super proud of. And now hear from other offers like, what? We always missed our deadline. So that feels good. But the like beat up stick that I used on myself, not so fun.
Well, I just want to say you are a fucking author because you wrote the thing. You did the damn thing. So you are a goddamn author, whether it's New York Times bestseller or it's just a stock on my bookshelf. Exactly. You are a goddamn author and you put pen to paper and you did the work and you did the hard work. And I'm super fucking proud of you.
Thank you. You were the first person to read it besides my editor.
Wow.
In like Word, you got a Word document. I mean, what a ride or die.
I wrote it on my phone at night, like in Word, and I'd be like, where was I? And I'd have scroll, like I was like 39 and then going back down. And I will say, for some, if you listen to this podcast at all, I am the queen of TTTs, which is tangible takeaway tools, which is one of my favorite parts of the book, is that it's so, there's so much, it's not that I have no issue with woo-woo and spirituality and being out there, but this is so tangible. Like it's there. There's like processes you can easily go through to identify certain parts of yourself. And like you said, the littles that really we forget so much about, you know, you think about it, you either forget it or you block it because life is not easy breezy. And it's hard to revisit them a lot. I've even done work with you and my life is lovely, but I've had times where my little wouldn't even pay attention to me. It is hard fucking work and you've done it 20 million times fold.
Thank you. I would say your littles are waiting for you in this book for sure.
How adorable. They're like, hi.
Yeah, we're here. Come get us.
What else? Is there anything else you want to say? Oh, I want to know something. Like what's one thing from the book that you feel like you use daily or weekly or the most? Like what's one part of the book that you consistently use in your own life?
The only way to dial up your intuition is to decipher between what it is and what your fear voice is telling you. And so I tell you in this book exactly how to do that, but I do that every single day, multiple times a day. I will have a thought or I'll need to make a decision and I will take inventory. What are the littles saying? Those are the fear thoughts. Okay, what does that feel like in my body? Got it. It's contracted. It's heavy. I know that that is fear. All right. Deep breath in. What's the most expansive self? What's the most expansive thought? I will register that. I will thank my higher self. I literally with my hand in my heart and be like, thank you. Oh, I literally do that 100 times a day. And then I will be accountable to choosing the higher self thought or belief. I do that every day.
I think that's why you're such a goddamn badass. No joke. Like for real, you constantly are facing your fear, like constantly, where a lot of us are just running and hiding from it.
Well, and you know what you're running into with me is being my partner in this.
Yes.
I think it's because I do that, that when people along this process have tried to tell me what's not possible.
I know.
Or who I am or what this book is, like because I'm so connected to this intuitive wisdom, it's very hard for me to take bullshit. It's very hard for me to take contraction from other people because it's like, no, I know what this is, or I know what I am, or I know what's possible. Don't tell me what's not possible. I feel it. And you're right. It can be, that's, I think, been some of the challenge in selling the book is like, this like lioness in me that's like, do not tell me no. Do not tell me I can't. Do not tell me it's not possible. And some people are up for the like task like you. Other people have not really enjoyed that.
I'm going to counter you and say it's not a lioness in you. It's just your higher self. It's not some lioness, some big fierce thing. It is you. It's you in there. It's a higher form of you telling you, nope, this is going to work. This is how it's going to go.
You know what's interesting? I do this visualization where I walk people to a place to literally visualize their higher self. You've done it. It's literally like it's a visitation. It's not It's not a meditation. It is a visitation. And it is, I would say, it's quite a metaphysical experience.
Yeah.
But I do it with my own higher self. And she's always waiting on top of this hill. And there's this huge oak tree. And she's dressed like it's like the year, I don't know, 1000 BC. And she's in full like queen, but warrior regalia. She's pretty awesome.
Yes, she is.
She always has a lioness next to her. Her hand is resting on the head of a lion. Always.
You've never said that to me. No fucking way. That's amazing.
Yeah. I know.
So maybe your higher self is a goddamn lioness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Now I need to do another one with you. There were like hawks in mine. Now I need to do another one and like really see what mine looks like. Cause I feel like the last time we did that, I was way more contracted than I am now.
Yeah.
I feel like I could maybe get a nice solid visual of
Well, and you know what's so cool in the work I do in the one-on-one sessions is like I get to see these other people's higher selves. And they're all so different the way people visualize their higher self. Like sometimes it'll just be like a beautiful purple auric light. Sometimes it'll be like a creature that like lives in the ocean. Like it's so fun to watch how people, when you give them permission to like tap into and put a visual on their most powerful, abundant, wise, divine self, like immediately, I'm telling you, they don't even have to work that hard. They'll just tell me. And then the cool part is if I'm in the meditation with them, I can see it too. But that's for another episode.
Wild. We should do an episode because that's wild. All right. I have one last question.
Okay.
I can't, I'm like so snotty from crying at my pride for you and this book and this process and this life you've built. We recently had another author, Megan Hellerer, on. And when I was looking up some good questions to ask her, I found this really fun one. And the second I saw it, I was like, I'm saving that for when I interview Bean for her book. And here, and I know it's going to be, your answer is going to be top notch. The question is,
no pressure.
If your book had a theme song, what would it be?
I think it's The Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine.
I fucking love that song. Oh my God. That was so unexpected.
Yeah. It's that line, happiness hit her like a train on a track. Like, I remember being so scared and sad after my divorce with these like two little itty bitty kids in my care. And feeling like this job that was killing me was the only way I could feed them. And I remember that song playing. And I remember hearing that line and feeling like someone from somewhere was telling me that was coming. Like it was like a message from the future. Like it's coming for you. The dog days are over. And so it feels to me like that feels like my higher self, the lyrics to that song.
I want to slow clap, but I'm crying. I almost feel like we need like a tissue snot break. This whole episode has been like me tearing up, me getting chills, you crying, me crying. But it's all from immense, here I go again. I need like a thesaurus for pride. Like pride does not feel grand enough to explain what I feel for you and the dreams that I wish for you and the success that I want for you with this. And I know is coming. I am like blindly following you because my higher self just continues to tell me like she is going to be huge. Like you have to stick by her. So, and I only hear it because you taught me to, and I am thrilled for the whole world to now be able to read your book and also be able to tap into their own knowing and their own and stop following everybody else. So thank you for creating this. And I'm wishing you, it's too generic, but I'm just wishing you the most hugest success with this. And I am so honored to be watching all of this unfold. And everybody, go order that book because as this airs, it's out. It's out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Anywhere you want to order books, go check it out. And while you're at it, please share this podcast with anybody you think would love to hear it. Anybody who wants to know more about this book, send them the podcast and then send them a copy of the book. We love and support Maury all the way. And we all wish you so much luck with this. And I love you so, so, so much.
Thank you, Bean. I love you.
Tune in next week for a new ep. Chat then. Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.